Thank you. Thank you. Lord, you're just so good. You're just so good. You give us chance after chance after chance after chance after chance after chance. You're not a God of just a second chance, dear Heavenly Father, because we'd all be gone if not for us. But Lord, I just thank you that you continue to give us opportunities. Lord, today, as we present this message, present this gospel message, these words of encouragement and instruction, Lord, prepare our hearts, our ears, our minds, and our feet, that we might serve you and do that which is acceptable, and that someone today might say, what must I do to be saved? And that today they will believe on the name of Jesus Christ, and today they will commit their lives to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, good evening, good afternoon, good morning. I need two ushers, a couple ushers. Eddie, you can come up here. I need a couple ushers. If y'all would pass these out to folks. I know what I look like right now. I look like a school teacher. And the school teachers would always, I'll just give you the rest of them. Whenever you got to the beginning of class and you walk in and the school teacher would hand you out the paper and say, it's test time. It's testing time. So y'all didn't come in here expect to take no test today. But I thought, oh, how wonderful this would be to have a test. Amen. Last week, we talked about be ye transformed. We were in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and we talked about be ye transformed. Talking about the Bible in verses 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul says, I beseech thee, my brethren, don't be conformed to this world. The purpose of Jesus going to the cross is now and always has been so that we would not be slaves to sin, and that thereby, not being slaves to sin, we would be able to glorify God with our life by presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice. That's what we talked about last week. Be not conformed to this world. Stop taking on the mindset and the thought set of the people of who run this world, and especially, you understand, the prince of the power of the air, be not conformed to his way of doing stuff. Because if you haven't noticed, it's called confusion. And there's a lot of confusion going on because so many Christians are allowing themselves to be conformed to the thought process of this world. Understand, God has promised each and every person in here who has named the name of Christ, he has promised you, don't worry about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, or where you're going to sleep. He said, I will provide that. But now I want you to yield your members to me and let me go out here and preach this gospel that nobody would perish. God has given you and I a mission, and he's giving us the opportunity to witness and make sure that nobody has to go to hell. Some people will go. But it's our business to see to it that everybody gets the good news. Amen? So, last week we were in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Today, we're going to pick up with verse 3 through 21. Verses 3 through 21. And it reads in the King James Bible. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Help me, Lord. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, according to the proportion of faith. Verse 7, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth, on teaching. He that exhorteth, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Verse 13, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality, bless them that persecute you and bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be wise, be not wise in your own conceits. Verse 17, recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peacefully, peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Verse 20, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers, and hearers of his word. Amen. Today we're talking about testing for transformation. Testing for transformation. All through our secular school, starting in kindergarten, in fact, they probably even do it in pre-K now. Everybody gets tests, right? You get tests. You get tested. They want to see where you're at on this scale of information. They give you a test. And everybody's always trying to find an objective, effective test for knowledge and where people are at in their understanding of things. We need an objective test. Well, when I was coming up, we had the SAT. I know they still have that, the ACT. They have the Brother Greg, STAR testing that they do over here. You know, everybody's got an objective test to try to find out where you're at on the scale. But not in recent years, people have been attacking standardized tests because they say, well, that test doesn't apply to my culture, or that test doesn't apply to my language, or that test doesn't apply to this, and that test doesn't apply to that. In fact, it's gotten to the point, I wasn't going to say this, but I got to say it now. Testing is so important now, you even have people cheating. It's too easy. You got people paying hundreds of thousands of dollars to have other people take their tests. Now, I know it's easy for us to point finger at those people and say, man, you put all that money into that. But understand, now, if y'all be honest, if you understand, they say confession is good for the soul. There was times when I cheated on some tests in school. But see, y'all got to understand the price is going up. It used to cost me a lunch, you know, school lunch, you know, maybe 50 cents, you know, which was big money. That was big money, 50 cents. But now the price of cheating on a test has gone through the roof. But skip all that, because those tests come and go. But we're talking about living a transformed life. We're talking about a life that is not, we learned from the book of Ephesians that we are all accepted in the beloved. We are all accepted in Jesus Christ. That means the moment you say, I believe on the name of Jesus Christ, I believe that Jesus Christ came, he died, he rose from the dead, paying for my sins. The Bible says once you do that, it doesn't matter. You may still be doing a lot of other stuff, y'all. He says, but the moment you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you have been accepted in the beloved. That's why they call it good news. And unfortunately, too many people talk about, well, you know, as soon as I get straightened out, and as soon as I stop smoking, as soon as I stop drinking, and as soon as I stop doing all this other stuff, you don't understand. Christianity is an inside job. He says, you come to me, I'll take care. I clean you up from the inside out. So once you believe on the, it's simple. Once you believe on the name of Jesus Christ, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. But then you're accepted. But in Romans 12, in the chapter that we're in right now, God is trying to move us from just being accepted to acceptable. And there's a quantum leap from just being accepted and being acceptable. Because accepted is you're part of the family. Acceptable is now you're well-pleasing. That's what the author is trying to get us to do here in Romans 12. Go from just being part of the family, but being well-pleasing to God. Well, how do I know, preacher, when I'm well-pleasing and when I'm not? Well, I'm glad you asked that. You got a test. Amen. This test is a test for an objective standard of our spiritual growth. Now, the good news is, and I know y'all, I know I'm speaking for every cheater in town. I always liked it when the teacher said, grade your own test. I got that, buddy. I can do that. You're going to grade your own test. But I want you to put this test away. I want you to come back and look at it later on. Maybe in about 6 months. Maybe, and see, have you progressed? It's all going to be on a scale from 1 to 5, you know, like the 5 stars. And when you ask, when I ask you these questions, you know, when the Bible presents these questions to you, these challenges, you honestly answer, where am I at on my Christian walk? Because he tells you right here in verse 2, he goes, these are the things, in verse 1 of chapter 12, he goes, these things, accomplishing these things, these are tangible, achievable measures. He goes, these things will be guaranteed acceptable. They will make you well-pleasing to God. I asked the kids in my class this morning, and I'm going to ask y'all, how many of y'all would like to be a mediocre Christian? Raise your hand. How many of y'all, with your heart's desire, want to be well-pleasing to the one who saved you? Just, y'all, if you want to be well-pleasing, bam, he said, here you go. Start with this. Be not conformed to this world. Don't develop your thought and deeds around what you read on CNN, what you see on Fox, what you see in the Star Telegram, what you see from this psychiatrist and that psychiatrist. Start with the Bible and stay with the Bible. And I guarantee you will be well-pleasing to God. We're going to pick up here in verse 3 of chapter 12 of the book of Romans. We have 4 categories that we're going to end up going through while we go through this particular text. And we'll kind of walk through them pretty quickly. We won't go verse by verse by verse. We'll just see how the Spirit moves. And I want you to understand, all of these things are attainable, but they're only, this is a spiritual battle. This is a spiritual battle. They're attainable, but they're only attainable through the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you see these things, I want you to understand, when you see these things on your test, the requirements, the things that the Bible is challenging you to do, exhorting you to do, understand, the Pharisees could do almost all these things. They could do almost all these things on the surface. But remember, Jesus said, we have to exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. And y'all got to understand, the Pharisees kept every law. In fact, not only did they keep the 10, or not only did they try to live by the 10 commandments, they had added a total 600 odd commandments that they were going to try to live by. They had a commandment for this, a commandment for that. They walked holy. They spoke holy. They had set up a thing of righteousness to be. It was so impressive. Jesus said, Jesus used them as a standard. He said, you have to exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. He said, because the words they speak are good, but the way they live, now, okay. So how do regular old you and me, how do we live a righteous life? Verse 3. Well, I said, we're going to go through these four sections. We're going to go through the source. We're talking about our gifts. It's the gifts from God that allow you to do what you do. The source of our gifts, recognizing our gifts, gifts in action, and then the last section is going to be uber gifted. I got that from my contemporary dictionary. I'm trying to get there. Uber giftedness. Talk about the source of our gifts, recognizing our gifts, gifts in action, and uber gifted. Verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. The Bible tells us categorically, avoid pride. Stop thinking that we're all that, y'all. Ecclesiastes even tells us we're all but a vapor. We're here today, we're gone tomorrow. Scripture tells us, I think it's Jeremiah. He goes, the best we can do, when you're on your best day, when you're on your best behavior, it's like a filthy rag. So the first thing we have to do is realize, where's the source of our gifts? The source of our gifts is God. Okay, y'all? We, look at all you little fine stuff. You got your little nice necklace on. Some of that stuff ain't even faux stuff. Some of that stuff is real deal stuff. Okay, got your necklaces, got your jewelry, got the gifts. But you got it from somewhere. You didn't come into this world with it. And I guarantee you, I got it on good word. When you leave here, you ain't taking none of it with you. None of it. So what do I do to please God while I'm here? The only thing that I came with and the only thing that I'm leaving with is this body. And he says, present it as a living sacrifice. Give it to me. Give it to me to use. And so in verse 3, he says, I say through the grace given unto me. Paul is saying, I have a measure of grace. I have a measure of grace, and so do you. Everybody here has been given a measure of grace. And he says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. That's not to say you're supposed to walk around with your head down. Oh, woe is me. No. That's not what Christians are supposed to do. But he does say, esteem others above yourself. Start with your family. Husbands. I look over here to the side. Husbands. Esteem others above yourself. Do you realize that when you go out of your way to please your spouse, I'm talking to the husbands now. When you go out of your way to try to take care of her and do what she wants and oh, I got it. Treat her like you did when you was courting her. A young kid, that means dating her. That means she'll respond. Brothers, sisters, friends, there is nobody that you have control over. Nobody that you have control over other than yourself. So stop trying to make other people do this and do that and do this and do. Why don't you settle in on what the Word of God says, and why don't you allow Him to transform you? And when God transforms you, you will change everybody and everything you come into contact with. Everybody and everything. I went to a spaghetti warehouse yesterday, and I don't know how y'all eat, but if I go to a spaghetti warehouse, a spaghetti place somewhere, I try to always avoid white shirts. If I go in there with a black shirt, a blue shirt, a green shirt, I get nothing. Nothing. But I've been going there with a white shirt. It's going to affect me. I'm going to contact it. It's going to get on me. If you show up at a family reunion, if you show up on your job and God has transformed your life, skip you trying to make Joe or Bob or pursue. Skip that. If He has transformed you, you will have an impact on them. You hear me? You hear me, church? Stop worrying about, well, he don't like me, she don't like me, this and no. You, as you're going to see when you get to your test, he's going to insist that you love them. What? The Word of God is going to insist that you start. Why do I love Jesus? Because He first loved me. You want to be Christ-like? You want to be well-pleasing? How do I have an impact with that person over there who I really can't stand? I got to first love him. Before I can expect him to change his ways around me, I have to first love him. Because I can't make him do anything. I can't make her do anything. But the Holy Spirit, if I will yield my members as a living sacrifice, the Holy Spirit will use me to reach that person. He goes, so stop thinking so highly of yourself, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Faith is a gift, y'all. He tells you in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, he says, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift. Your faith is a gift. So you got nothing until God gives it to you. And He gives you that faith. And everybody who has believed on the name of Jesus Christ, every single person has been given the gift of faith. So you have at least one gift. And as we mature, you'll find sometimes that you have 2, 3, 4, 5. You have many gifts. There's no limit that I see in here in Scripture as to how many gifts one person could have. I suspect that it depends on how much you're willing to yield to God. Amen. Because when the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me, I don't think He can do that unless I yield my members to Him, y'all. And I told the girls this morning in our Sunday school class, you may not like this analogy, you may not realize this analogy, but God, when Jesus found us, we were slaves to sin. We were in the slave market. We were locked down. And what Jesus did was He did just like He did Paul and Silas. And He did just like He did Paul and Silas when they were in the jail. They were in the jail at midnight. And the Bible says that God had one of those pinpoint earthquakes at midnight. And He opened the doors of the jail. In other words, when the doors are open, you are set free. Tonight is going to be a jailbreak. You are set free. You can get your hat, get your cup, and bam, I'm out of here. You are free. But what did Paul and Silas do? They sat there. What? After these fools that beat me, they sat there. They were free. But because they were concerned about the salvation of the jailer, because they were concerned about somebody above themselves, y'all, they sat. And I imagine they might have started singing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Or maybe they even say, our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. And the jailer went, The jailer saw this, y'all. They could have been gone. They could have been gone. Oh, been long gone. The jailer would have been singing, "He burnt rubber on me." I've been gone. But when God opened the doors to set them free, which he's done for each and every one of us, we're free. You're free. Liberty is hard for some folks. We're free. He said, but you're free, and I beseech you, would you take that freedom to willfully serve? Would you present yourself a living sacrifice to me? See, Christianity is a life of yielding. It's a life of yielding. I'm telling you, when you, that very first thing, Lord must be pleased, amen. That very first thing is stop, esteem others above yourself. What? I'm saved. I'm saved. What about this man? What about this woman? Let me be concerned about their condition. Please let me be concerned about their condition. Because I'm saved. I'm sanctified. I'm set apart. When I close my eyes for the last time, I'm absolutely, positively absent from the body, present with the Lord. So he's saying, with that knowledge, with that understanding, would you please tell your neighbor about Jesus? He doesn't know him. Would you please tell your boss man about Jesus? He doesn't know him. Would you please pray for the unsaved Jews? Even if you don't know him, start praying for him. The source of our gifts, everybody's gift, the source of our gifts is God. And every man has been given a measure of gifts. Okay, verses 4-8. Recognizing our gifts. See, because when you haven't been part of God's family, it's like going to a new job. Okay, your first day on a job is, Eddie, why don't you turn down the floodlights, please? That's distracting. Just the floods, turn them down. Whichever ones are blinking, okay. Whichever ones are blinking, just turn them down, leave them down. Thank you. Turn it. No, when I say turn it down, I mean turn it off. Okay, thank you. Cool. Okay, thank you. When you go on a new job, you walk into this building, you see apparatus you've never seen before, you've seen people you've never seen before, and you don't know what's expected. Now, you know what you put down on the application, but you don't know what's expected. So you have to get that manual. You have to get that owner's manual, that shop manual, and see what's expected for you on this job. Okay, verses 4-8 will let you know what are the job openings in the kingdom of God. What are the job openings in the kingdom of God? Okay, he says in verse 4, for we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Understand, we are the body of Christ, man, woman, boy, girl, everybody here who's a Christian, everybody who names the name of Jesus Christ, we are in one body. And guess what? We are in one blood. We are of one blood. Well, why do we look so different? Because that's the way God made it. And that's why he has to give us an instruction. Because if we're walking by sight, if we're being conformed by this world, we would sit here and we say, you're a this and you're a that and you're a this and you're a that. No, we are all one body, one blood. We may look a little bit different. In fact, he even says not only do we look different, but we have different offices. We have different functions. Just like your body. And that's why the analogy of a body is so wonderful for the Christian church. Because just like your body, every piece of your body, every joint, every muscle, everything has a special need. After my father had a stroke years ago, that was the first time I ever heard of a sphincter muscle. I didn't know what a sphincter muscle was. I'm like, I go to visit him at the hospital, and this lady is feeding this mush. And I know my daddy don't like mush, but she's feeding this mush.
Yeah.
And I said, why you feeding my daddy mush? And she said, because his sphincter muscle has to be retrained. I said, what is that? She goes, there's a muscle in your throat. And when you eat, it determines whether it's liquid or solid. I went, how cool, who thought of that? Okay. Have you ever sat down and tried to think when you're swallowing, okay, food go to the left, water go to the right? No, you don't think about that. It's involuntary. Now, and when they call it involuntary, that means God put it in. Amen. Because you're filled, we are all fearfully and wonderfully made. So she had this, she was retraining what was natural in him. She had to retrain it because of his medical condition so that his throat and his mind could retrain the solids to go to one direction, the liquids to go to another direction. When you come to faith in Jesus Christ, you've been living life a certain way. And most of it, you've been living in rebellion to God. Even if you weren't a bad, awful, what we would call an awful, awful person, but you were living in rebellion to God, because when you don't yield your members to God as a living sacrifice, you're living in rebellion to God. So when you come to God, when you come to him and he says, now it's time for you to move forward, he gives you this owner's manual and he says, this is your job. This person over here has one job. You have another job. The sphincter muscle determines over here, over there. You guys, there is such a marvelous place in the church for every service. And I wish that God's people would understand how valuable anything you bring to the kingdom of God and yield it to God is. We've got some ladies up here, they sing. Oh my goodness, they have been gifted with a voice. They really, 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 really can sing. Some folks really, really, really can't. But guess what? God's got something else for you to do. And it's just as important as what they're doing. Yeah, but won't nobody see me? Won't nobody? I said it's just as important as what they're doing. For most of us, people very seldom see the ball of your foot. People very seldom see the ball of your foot because we usually have on shoes or something of that nature. The ball of your foot is a very important part of your body. Have you ever got a splinter in the ball of your foot? Guess what? Everything stops. But it wasn't important why it was covered up. But you let something happen to the ball of my foot, everything comes to a screeching halt. We are a body. We all are part of the body of Christ. And what you do and how you do it is important to the body of Christ. We are all members one of another. You heard the song? Hip bone connected to the thigh bone connected to the knee bone. Everything is connected, y'all. What you do impacts me. What I do and what I say impacts you. You may not know it, but understand, when you name the name of Christ, when you're out there in the midst of your group of folks and you talking crazy about this, that, and the other, don't you think for one minute that doesn't infect how people view Christ. Verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, that's one of the gifts that's available, according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, that he that giveth, let him do it with. Do you know that giving is a gift? You know giving is a gift? You know there are people who give exceedingly above what you would think their income would allow? And guess what? They haven't missed the house note. They haven't missed the car note. And you're sitting there, you're saying, but how do they do that? It's a gift, y'all. It's a gift. And teaching is a gift. Not everybody can teach. Don't worry about it. God's got a gift for you. And then he talks about even the gift of mercy. The gift of mercy. Mercy is when you do something for somebody without any expectation of something being given back in return. Mercy. God showed us mercy. He's expecting you, as you grow in your giftedness, to show mercy. Now, don't forget, I said, here comes testing time. Here comes testing time. Testing time picks up with verse 9. Look at your papers. And as we go along, as we talk about these, I want you to ask yourself, and of course, you are the person who, you do the grading. I expect you not to cheat. But you do the grading, and understand, the last verse is verse 21. That would be my key verse. Everything on this test, everything in this scripture, is designed to ultimately get each one of us to the point in our Christian walk where we will not be overcome with evil, but we will overcome evil with good. I'm not there yet. And if I think we're all honest, we got a ways to go, y'all.
Yeah.
Because this world, there's stuff in this world that makes you, it make you want to slap somebody. But you can't. Because you represent Jesus. And if anybody ever deserved to be slapped, it was me when I was saved and living in rebellion to God.
Yeah.
And you know what he did when I was living a life that was not well pleasing to him? And I was saved. He just kept pulling my coat. Will, come on, man. Will, you can, come on, Will. Folks know you know me, and you out here acting a fool. Come on, man. He drew me with his love. And that's what he's trying to build us in his image. Because the Bible says one day we're going to see him, and we're going to look like what he said. Y'all say it? We're going to look just like him. But that's not magic, y'all. That starts now. By not being conformed to this world, but allowing God through the power of his Holy Spirit to transform our lives so that we go from being accepted, which is just part of the body, to acceptable, which is well-pleasing unto God. Okay. Verses 9. What do we have here? Verses 9 through 17. Now, don't any of y'all sit too close to Brother Eddie, because he'll be looking on your paper. Okay. You with me?
Yes.
Okay, let's go. Verse 9. This is where we're going to talk about recognition. We talked about recognition. We talked about the source of our gifts, which is God, and we talked about recognizing our gifts, understanding that there are gifts available. Everybody has at least one gift, but understand, he says, wait on your other gifts. Wait on that teaching gift. Wait on that ministering gift. Wait on that mercy. But in all the while, yield yourself. Yield yourself. Present yourself a living sacrifice. Every opportunity that you get, yield your members to God. Because he set you free. Don't forget, Paul and Silas could have got up and left. They could have got up and left. But they chose to stay there so that Philippian jailer might come to faith. And don't forget, not just the jailer. The Bible tells you the jailer came to faith and his whole household came to faith. Don't you know you can have that same, don't you know you do have that same impact? You and I, God has given you that impact in other people's lives because they're watching you. They're watching you. Verses 9. Start with verse 9. This is hard enough. Now, I put it under heading of supernatural. You cannot achieve any of these marks without the supernatural help of the Holy Spirit. Okay. Let love, which means this is optional, let love be without dissimulation. Let love be without dissimulation. That's hard enough right there. You know what? The word dissimulation. Let your love be without hypocrisy. I told you, can't do that. Supernatural. Supernatural. Because understand, the Bible says very clearly, even the heathen loves his own family. So just because you love your friends and your family, what's that make you? He says, your love and my love has to be above and beyond my four and no more. He says, don't do it. It has to be without dissimulation, without hypocrisy. You cannot say, I love this class of people, but I hate that class of people. You can't say it, church. We can't do it, church. You can't be talking. You can't do like Peter did. The Bible tells you that Peter was out hanging out with the Gentiles, and he was out having barbecue and whatever with the Gentiles. I don't know what all he was doing, but he was living with the Gentiles because he knew. Understand, Peter was preaching the gospel, so he knew that the Gentiles that he was talking to were saved. He knew that. So he was comfortable with that because God had put it on his heart. But as soon as he went back and got among his brethren, his fellow Jews, the Bible tells you that all of a sudden Peter went to, modern day word, he went to tripping. He started acting like he didn't know the Gentiles. I'm a Jew, I'm born from a Jew. He acted like he didn't even know these people that he was just hanging out with. Let your love be without dissimulation. Find out where you at. 1 to 5. Where are you at? Where are you at? 1 to 5. Are you one way with your friends and family and another way over here? I didn't put a spot there for zeros, but in fact, there would be no zeros because you got one gift. You got faith and you can build on that. Amen. He says, let your love be without hypocrisy. We got to love folks enough that we don't want anybody to go to hell. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. When you see something and you know it's not right. He goes, say it. And it doesn't even matter if your mama do it. He said, say it if it's wrong. And if you see somebody doing something that's right, say it. I don't care what you think of the person. If they're doing something that's right, according to the word of God, not according to how you feel and how you think, but according to the word of God, say it. When you see the people in New York City voting to kill newborn babies, when he says abhor evil, I don't care who's doing it. Abhor evil. Say it's evil. Speak out against evil. And then, if you see somebody doing something right, say it, church. See, that's where the hypocrisy comes in, because the world watches us. We're the salt, we're the light. We are the salt and the light. We make the difference. You just put a smidgen of salt in that food, and it makes a difference. You put a dash of Jesus Christ and a touch of the Holy Ghost, and you're good to go. You're good to go. Put on your full armor. You're good to go. And don't be scared of nothing. Because God doesn't give us a spirit of fear. Amen. He says, abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another. with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one to another. That's another way of saying esteem others above yourself. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. I appreciate the bench warmers here. I really do. I appreciate the bench warmers. But I want you to know the benches are going to be warm whether you come in here or not. God wants you to serve him. And God wants you to serve him not only in here, but outside these four walls. Because that's where the battleground is, y'all. That's where the battleground is. Please, 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 if you're going to be here at Good Shepherd Baptist Church, please, please, please do not tell me you do not discuss politics with people. Please don't ever tell me that, because that's where the battleground is. And you're the salt and you're the light. So if you never discuss it with the darkness, how's the darkness ever going to come to the light? Because you say, I don't do that kind of stuff. You know what? I'm so glad Jesus didn't say, you know, I just don't feel like it this day. I'm just not going to the cross because I just ain't up for fussing with these folks. Be kindly affectionate one to another. Christians, stop hating on Christians. Husbands, don't be bitter towards your wives. Wives, stop holding grudges against your husband. Children, respect your parents. Honor your father and your mother. That your days might be long. Be kindly affectionate to others. And man, would you want to see the difference between how they treat you. Again, you can't make them do anything. But we do have the power to live a life that's overcoming of evil. Amen. Be not slothful in business. Take care of your business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Verse 12. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Rejoicing in hope. That's the hope that we have. It's not a hope. The hope that we have is the expectation that one day we're going to see our Savior. That's the expectation we have. The expectation we have is that one day, the one who gave his life for me, I'm going to get to meet him. And not only am I going to get to meet him, he said, guess what? I've prepared a place for you. Oh, man, that's good news. He said, I have prepared a place for you. Why? That you might be with me. Not only should we want to be with Jesus, but I want you to understand he desires to be with you. Oh, I like that. Patient in tribulation. This takes away that lie that people say, well, once you become a Christian, you're never going to have a hard time. Oh, no, buddy, everything's going to be coming up roses. That's a lie. That's a lie. Because if that was true, he wouldn't tell you to be patient in tribulation. Tribulation is coming. Understand tribulation is coming. But also understand this. Weeping may endure for the night. But joy. Joy is coming in the morning. And the joy is coming because I got Jesus. And he's going to change my way of how I approach my situations and my problems. So when you're going down through your test, be honest. How am I patient in tribulation? Or do I say, I want it now? Am I instant in prayer? Do I take everything to the Lord in prayer? Or do I first cuss somebody out and then pray? Come on. This is to grow us. And I call it testing because it never ends. It's growing. It's spiritual growth. And you don't finish growing till you plant it in the ground and then you come up a whole new way. Amen. But this is the test for your Christian faith. Are you growing? Am I growing? Continuing instant in prayer. Verse 13, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Oh, my Lord. First off, Christians want to give everybody some food, give everybody some clothes, give everybody some something, some shoes, some socks, some books. How about starting with the household of faith?
Yeah.
starting with the people who serve Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Huh? If you're going to start giving away money and giving away stuff, why don't you give it to somebody who's going to at least profess Jesus Christ?
Exactly.
Well, you know, Pastor Jesus fed the 5,000. Yeah. And they sat there while he preached. Take care of the necessities of the saints first. There's nothing wrong with helping folks who ain't part of the body of Christ, but take care of the necessity of the saints first. When you got folks in your own congregation who need their lights turned on, their water, their food, that's a travesty to take that money that folks are giving and give it somebody else. We don't do that, by the way. Giving to hospitality. There was a time when people, even pastors, after church, they go out, go to people's houses. You better not do that today. You better not do that today. You might catch them doing like this. They pull the curtain back. And you got to say, I know you're in there. Open that door. Because people are not given the hospitality, y'all. Church. People shouldn't have to make a 3-week appointment to come visit you. They shouldn't have to do that. You shouldn't have anything that's so bad that they can't come by just to say hi. They're not coming to see what all you have in your house. You know why people think that they're coming to see how much you do? Because you think more highly of yourself than you ought to. Okay? He says, hospitality. Hospitality is opening your doors to the saints. Hospitality is when you walk past somebody and say, good morning, what's it cost you? Good afternoon, what's it cost you? Have a good day, have a blessed week. What's it cost you? Hospitality. Open the door for somebody, hospitality. It just, when I see these young boys stampede over these women, when they're trying to get to the door, and the boy just runs, no! Teach your sons some hospitality. Teach your children some respect for elders. Yeah, but I don't like Sister Sally so-and-so. What did I just say? Given hospitality. If you're going to answer like that, I don't like brother so-and-so, sister, then you need to mark a 1 on your star, okay? Because the goal is to get all of us. Because, remember when we first started this? We are one body. So if I come knocking on your door, it's just another member of your body coming by to say hello. Amen? Y'all get the picture? We are one body. You would not refuse your elbow entry into your house because it's attached to you. It's part of who you are. When your brother and sister comes to you to speak, say howdy, say hello. Just consider it, church. I know that's radical. I know that's radical because people just don't do it. People do not drop in on each other anymore. Just don't do it. And you got to ask yourself why. When God says, be given to hospitality. Moving on. Verse 14. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Where you stand on that, church? Where you stand on the people who do you wrong? Where you stand? 1 through 5. Where do you stand? And understand this. We have the ability in us to do this. God would not challenge us to do this and not give us the ability to do it. So we have to ask ourselves, and I'm not just beating up on y'all, because when I went through this, I won't tell you my score, but it wasn't perfect. It wasn't nowhere close to perfect, because I'm a work in progress. But this gives me an objective standard to shoot for. Do I pray for people when they spread nasty rumors about me? Do I? I got fired from a job when I'm the only job I've ever been fired from in my life. I was like 20 years old. I thought I worked. I got fired. I want some really bad things to happen to that man. And I was Christian. I did not pray for the Lord to touch him because I was truly wrongfully fired. But I didn't pray for him because I didn't realize that if I yield my members to God, Even when somebody does me wrong, and he specifically tells you in Scripture, even if they've done you wrong, you're supposed to pray for them. Whew, man. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Verse 15, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Christians have difficult times sometimes, y'all. Sometimes our spouses disappoint us. Sometimes our children disappoint us. And you know what's even, I guess I will say worse. Sometimes I disappoint myself. Sometimes I know God said, go talk to that person. I said, I'm busy. I don't go talk to him. And then I get in my car. And Lord, just, he could bring tears to your eyes because he's saying to you, I set up that meeting. You thought you set up that meeting. I set up that meeting and you let that person go on without a good word from you. And I set up that meeting and I told you to talk to him. And you told me you was too busy. Sometimes I disappoint myself. And I find myself weeping. I say, okay, Lord, I'm not going to do that again. Guess what? You move up a little bit in your spiritual growth. Once you purpose in your heart to yield your members to God, you move up. It's a continuing process. You don't ever graduate till you leave this place. But you can objectively see where you're at. Objectively see where you're at. Verse 16, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. That be not wise in your own conceits, that's a repeat of verse 3 when he says, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to. God's trying to keep putting that in our mind, y'all, because God has given us, some of us, many gifts. Some of us, I'm astounded at some of the intelligence, quotient of some of the people, even in this small congregation. I'm astounded at the ability of some people to save money. I'm astounded at the ability of some people to give money. And he goes, but understand, don't you, just because I gave you that gift, don't you start thinking that you're all that. You're not, because you came with nothing. You're going to leave with nothing. But while you're here, I want you to overcome evil. I want you to not be overcome with evil, and I want you to overcome evil with good. But unless we mature as Christians, we'll always be on the receiving end of the bad stuff. Verse 17. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Be honest and fair in your business practices. Don't be one of those folks who go to work and you punch in and then you go find a place to hide. Don't do that. Because you represent Christ. You represent Christ. When that man hired you, he said, I expect you to give me 8 hours of work. And when you took his check, you said, okay, I'll give you 8 hours of work. So now, give him 8 hours of work. He goes, that's scriptural, y'all. And if you find yourself not doing those things, mark your test accordingly and do better. Provide things honest in the sight of all men to the best that you can do. Now, those are normal, accepted Christian things. You don't have to be a super saint to do any of those things on verses 4 through 17. You don't have to be a super saint. I mean, verses 9 through 17. But I'm here to tell you, even the Bible acknowledges there's some stuff that's above and beyond. And here's a clue. Here's how you know when God has asked you to do something above and beyond. If it be possible. He's already telling you, man, woman, I'm getting ready to ask you to do something extremely big. And understand his purpose. His purpose is to bring people to faith who don't know Jesus Christ. And he's using you. And you and I are his billboard. When you're driving down Highway 360, you see those big old billboards flashing. They flash about the Amber Alert. They flash about buy your car here, eat your food there. Everybody's got these billboards. You and I, we are God's billboard. And you are flashing. And people are seeing you. And people are wondering, why do you go into this building every Sunday? Why do you give these people money? And why do you come in here to... They want to know. But they got to see something in you that makes them want to come. Amen. Now, get ready for your uber supernatural maturing transformation. If it be possible, verse 18... If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. I don't think so. I got a whole list of people I don't want to get along with. Thank God it's gotten smaller since I start preaching. But come on, be honest. Most of us, I wasn't Muslim, a good many of us, we will walk across the street rather than encounter so-and-so-and-so-and-so. Because we don't want to be around. God says, to the best of your ability, to a supernatural level of your ability, because understand, when people see you and somebody that they know is your mortal enemy, when they see you and that person sit down to have lunch, together. What's up? What's up? They'll know that God is at work. So we do the best we can with as much as lives within, as much as within us. Dearly beloved, verse 19. These are things that are super abundant, above what is natural and normal, but these are things that are attainable. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Yes, you want to smack that person. Yes, you want to curse that person. Yes, you want to go out and key their car. But he says, don't do it. See, because there was a time in your mind that seemed like the right thing to do. I'm going to get them. They got me. And I'm going to get them. He said, don't do that. He says, because vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Oh, y'all don't understand. Y'all don't understand how. Scripture. Moses, Korah. Everybody knows Moses. Korah was one of the priests. The priests, they rose up against Moses. And they told Moses, said, Moses, we don't think you got so much God in you, that we got as much God in us as you got in you. And they told Moses, they said, Moses, we think you're trying to take advantage of the people. And bottom line is, y'all, they rebelled against Moses. And God told Moses, that Moses, they ain't rebelled against you. See, y'all, when we rebel against authority, you're not rebelling against that authority. You're rebelling against the one who put that person in authority. Y'all hear that? When you rebel against authority, when you rebel against the police, the school teachers, whoever, whatever, that's put in authority, you're not rebelling against them, you're rebelling against God. And so Moses, being of a very mature level, Moses took his cares to the Lord. He said, Lord, look at this. I've been obeying you. I've been doing everything you told me what to do. To do it the way you told me how to do it. And God told Moses, said, Moses, you tell those folks to come out and meet you out here in the street. You step back and you explain to everybody, if you see something supernatural happen, if you see the earth open up and swallow these men up, if you see something supernatural happen, then you know that you're rebelling against God, not against Moses. Next day, Bible says they came out, they stood out there. I'll leave you with this. Korah and his men went down to the pit and the ground closed up on them. Church, understand, I could have got mad at somebody, but I don't have the ability to open up the ground and drop them straight down to the pit. That's why God says, vengeance is mine. He said, let me repay. When they mess with my children, You know, do you know why people always get in trouble for messing with the Jews? Even though most of the Jewish community does not believe in Jesus Christ? You know why different nations, why England is no longer Great Britain and it's just England? The whole England, the Great Britain used to cover, the sun never used to go down on their powers. But they turned their back on Israel. Now they're just England. I can give you a whole lot of instances on that. God says, now you and I have been grafted in. God says, I don't take well to people messing with my children. I don't take well to people messing with my children. So what we have to do is we have to learn how to pray, hold our tongue, and say, Lord, you take care of me. Not only does that show them the power of God, it shows us the power of God as well. Amen. Therefore, verse 20, if thine enemy hunger, and this is talking more of a personal than it is on a like a war situation, but it can work into that too, but that's a whole different scenario. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Another way of translating that, you will heap coals of kindness on his head. You repay his evil with kindness. When you repay people's evil with kindness, what are they going to say to you? Oh, stop being so nice. See, when people don't have anything they can find fault with you, it messes them up. He says, repay it. And you cannot do it until you yield your members to the Holy Spirit. It's too hard. It's too hard. But when you yield your members to the Holy Spirit, he'll give you the ability to do it. I got to say this. Like I said, I hope there's somebody here today who's recognizing that they don't have the ability to do any of this. Not any of it. Because that means you're still a natural man. And the natural man can want to do better, and he can want to do right, and he might even be able to do it for a little while, but it soon goes away because you got to have the power of the Holy Spirit to do this. So if there's somebody here today who would like to be able to please God, you want to be well-pleasing with God, you want to be accepted and acceptable, I want you to know the Bible says what you do is you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. And he says, and you shall be saved. Oh, that's good news. What else I got to do? Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. And you shall be saved. And then and only then you can start leading a life that is supernaturally pleasing to God. Last point on my uber transformation. The most uber thing you can do is verse 21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Best illustration I can give you of that is my Savior. The Bible says they took him from judgment hall to judgment hall. The Bible says they spit on him. The Bible said they plucked his beard out. The Bible said they mocked him. The Bible said that they put a crown of thorns on his head and they shoved them down on his head. And the Bible said that they hung him up on a cross for the whole world to see, falsely accused. Persecuted by those who hate him, deserted by his friends. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And after all that, the Bible says, he looked out and he said, Father, forgive them. Man, come on, man. They slapped him. They beat him. They spit on him. They lied on him. They did everything they could do to him. He goes, if you want to be like me, if you want to be like Christ, at some point in our Christian walk, somewhere down the line, we got to be able to look at those who hate us and say, Father, forgive them, because they know not what they do. Church, be ye transformed. Don't stay down here on this level of your spiritual life. Don't just want to be accepted by Christ. At some point in our lives, we gotta wanna be acceptable. We wanna be well pleasing to God. You know why we be well pleasing to God? Because one day when this old tabernacle, all this old green jacket, these old boots, gonna be just a pile of dust. Someday, I'm looking forward to going from acceptable to from accepted to acceptable to when I hit those gates, I want my Savior to say, well done. I'm looking forward to it. I want him to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Be transformed. God bless you.